Hi, and welcome to Artists Alive. I'm Gustav Zementin Avström, and this is a podcast where I talk about what's new and notable in entertainment. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me, the new documentary that is out on Netflix about Anna Nicole's life, career, and death. I'd like to thank Netflix for letting me watch a preview of the entire documentary a week before premiere last week. I had to keep it a secret, but no more. Now I can finally talk about it and what I thought about it. So now you'll hear about it. You'll also be hearing about who Anna Nicole was as a person and what she means to me. Let's go. Before talking about the documentary, I think it's important to talk about who Anna Nicole was and then what the documentary brings up. Anna Nicole Smith was born Vicky Lynn Hogan on 28th November 1967 in Houston, Texas. When she was in ninth grade, she moved to Mejia, Texas to live with her maternal aunt. She wouldn't get the name Anna Nicole Smith until much, much later. And until we get there, I'm going to refer to her as just Vicky. Vicky didn't perform well in school, and so she drops out. And she starts to work at Jim's Crispy Fried Chicken, a restaurant in Mejia. There, she meets Billy Wayne Smith, a cook who works there, and they get married on 4th April 1985, when she was 17 and he was 16. He got jealous of her. She was stuck in their house when he went out to work, and she felt lonely. She thought that if she had a baby, she'd never be lonely again. So she flushed her pills down the toilet, and so she got her son, Daniel. She left her husband when Daniel was only 6 months old. She wanted fame, and to achieve that, and her dreams, she couldn't do that in Mejia. She wanted money, land, and to build her own house. She wanted a family. She wanted to raise Daniel, and she wanted a daughter. She tries to get a new job, and so she sees a sign that leads to a strip club. She tries to get a waitressing position there, but is told they're not looking for anybody, but that she could do an audition to become a dancer. She does the audition and gets hired. Her biggest goal is to get enough money to raise her son, and she earns a lot of money while working as a dancer. But it's also at this club she meets J. Howard Marshall, an 86-year-old billionaire. They're getting into a relationship in the early 90s, and Vicky hasn't filed for divorce from her first husband, Billy, who she'd left in the 80s. She wouldn't be divorced from him until 1993. This was 1991 she met J. Howard Marshall, and they're having an affair. He purchases everything she wants to, and she's spending his money on everything she wants to. He wants her to marry him, but she rejects him. She couldn't say yes to marriage before she had built a name for herself in showbiz, because she believed she was going to be called a gold digger if she didn't. Something she'd be called anyways in the future, nonetheless. In 1994, a year after divorcing Billy, she marries J. Howard Marshall. I'll talk more about this in a bit, but first we need to talk about how Vicky became Anna Nicole Smith, the model. Marilyn Grabowski was working for Playboy at this time and gets to hear about Vicky from a photographer in Texas and calls her in. They do a test shoot together and Vicky's brought a record. It's Marilyn Monroe, her idol, singing Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend from the movie Gentlemen Prefer Blondes from 1953. Paul Marciano, co-founder of Guess Jeans, gets to know about Vicky and wants her to model for Guess. He, however, doesn't think her name, Vicky Lynn Hogan, sounds like it could work globally. He thinks it sounds too southern, so Vicky suggests the name Anna Smith. Paul answers, let's add Nicole. And so Anna Nicole Smith, the new star, was born. And from now on, I'll be referring to her as Anna Nicole Smith, or Anna Nicole, or just Anna, so you know. But back to the wedding. In 1994, Anna Nicole Smith marries J. Howard Marshall and becomes Mrs. Marshall. She's wearing a grand fluffy white wedding dress with puffy white sleeves and a white veil. He sits next to her in a wheelchair. When he later on dies, she's wearing the same wedding dress to his funeral. There would be a huge case about the inheritance in court involving Anna Nicole and Pierce Marshall, J. Howard Marshall's son. Anna had said that J. Howard had promised her half his fortune to her after he passes away. He was worth $1.6 billion, so half of that, she says, she was entitled to. In court, Anna Nicole talks about her relationship with J. Howard. She describes it as, "It wasn't a baby, oh baby, I love you type of love. It was a thank you for taking care of me and my son's life." She had spent $14 million while they were together, money that could have lasted a lifetime. But it wasn't enough, and Pierce rejected the claims that his father had promised her half his fortune as inheritance. That she wasn't entitled to a single dime. That's what he thought about her. Pierce and his team wanted Anna to expose her intentions using her own words. Pierce's lawyer, Rusty Hardin, asks Anna sarcastically, "Mrs. Marshall, have you been taking acting lessons?" She responds to him saying, "Screw you, Rusty." What I like about Anna Nicole in this situation is that she's in a court of law where if you're gonna roast or insult someone, you do it in legal terms. Here she blatantly is just telling Pierce's lawyer what she thinks about him. Straight up, "Screw you, Rusty." I think that's hilarious. If someone close to me, like a close friend, does something jokingly mean, I respond with "screw you," sarcastically referring to this case, just because of how funny the way it is that she said it. Another comment Anna says is, "It's very expensive to be me." A notable outfit she wore to court, according to TMZ and the Hollywood Crime Scene podcast episode about Anna, was that she wore a rhinestone bedazzled shirt that said "spoiled." I find it absolutely hilarious. She's in court essentially for being a gold digger, which I don't think she was, because she truly was in a loving relationship with that man. But it doesn't really disprove that when she is wearing such attire, such as a spoiled shirt, to court. But what happened to Anna? Did she get any money? That you'll see if you watch the documentary. But before you do that, we need to jump to 2002. In 2002, The Osbournes is a big hit for MTV, so E! Entertainment wanted to create a similar hit. They knew their viewers loved Anna Nicole, so she invited everyone in her life who wanted to be in it to be on her show. Anna Nicole Smith's show was a comedy, and the melancholically tragic slogan for the show was, "It's not supposed to be funny, it just is." In the show, we clearly see a drugged-out Anna Nicole live her life in front of the cameras, where she's going to the dentist, amusement parks, and having manicotti and pizza-eating contests. Anna Nicole gets a bodyguard, Big Mo, and she immediately asks him if he thinks she's hot. He responds, saying he sees her as his little sister, and she answers that she's glad they met. After having gotten to know each other for a few days, he starts calling her baby girl, and she calls him Momo. In the documentary, he talks about when she's delivering a prize to Kanye West at the 2004 American Music Awards. The exact moment she gets on stage to present the award to her friend and colleague, Kanye West, she is noticeably high. She's slurring her speech, and when she gets off the stage, she asks her lawyer, Howard K. Stern, "How did I do?" There became scandals in the press in regards to Anna Nicole's apparent drug problems, and she chose to embrace them. There were rumors that Howard K. Stern, her lawyer, was the one managing all of this. But no, Anna was in full control over her career. In September of 2006, Anna delivers her daughter, Dani Lynn, in the Bahamas, and Daniel is on his way to meet his new baby sister. Once he's there, he holds her in his arms, but he never wakes up again. He dies of an overdose of methadone and two antidepressants. Anna Nicole is heartbroken, and she starts to use more pills to numb her pain. She takes more and more sleeping pills because she is always dreaming about her son, and sadly, that's the only way she'd ever see him again. In February of 2007, something tragic happens again. Anna Nicole Smith dies of an overdose at a hotel in Hollywood, Florida. She was 39 years old. Around this time, there's an argument about who the father of Danny Lynn is. Larry Burkhead, Anna's former photographer, claims he's the father. Her lawyer, Harry K. Stern, says he's the father because he's the one who signed Danny Lynn's birth certificate in Bahamas. And interestingly enough, Prince Frederick von Anhalt, actress Shasha Gabor's husband, also states he's the father because of an alleged affair he had with Anna. But who, out of these three men, is actually the father? You'll get the answer if you watch the documentary. Now you heard briefly about the life, career, and untimely passing of actress and model Anna Nicole Smith. The documentary, Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me, will give you more details about it, so it's worth checking it out if it interests you. In the documentary, there are interviews with Anna's friends and family and people who worked with her throughout her life. And since there's so many of them being interviewed, I think it's giving off a nuanced story of who she was. But if you're already an Anna Nicole Smith fan, hoping to get a lot of new information about her, I'm sorry to disappoint you. This documentary is more of a recap on her life. But if you're a new fan of Anna, or you don't know too much about her and wants to know more, I can truly recommend you to watch this documentary, as it'll tell you almost everything there's to know about her. I can recommend you watching it, and in the description of this episode, I'll provide a link to it on Netflix. It's out when you hear this. Anna Nicole Smith and I have something in common. Our role model is Marilyn Monroe, and we both have looked up to her since we were little. For me, I remember I was over at my friend Ida's house, and in their bedroom, they had a pillow with Marilyn Monroe's picture. A picture from The 7-Year Itch from 1955. You know, the scene where Marilyn's character stands on a windy subway grate, and her iconic white dress blows up. And I was like, who is that? And Ida goes, that's Marilyn Monroe. And I was like, wow. And from that point on today, I've watched a fair share of her movies, listened to her songs from her movie soundtracks, read a lot of books about her, seen most of her interviews one can find online, listened to a lot of podcasts about her, and I've even been to museum exhibitions about her. What I like about Marilyn is what I also like about Anna, is that they've lived through hardships and that they got through it. They could see the light in those situations. And as a person whose life hasn't been perfect either, when I've gone through horrible things myself, I can think for myself, if they managed to get out of their problems, so can I. And that's where I look up to them both. This has been Artists Alive, and I've been talking about the new documentary, Anna Nicole Smith, You Don't Know Me, that's out on Netflix. I have a link to it in the description of this episode. And I want to once again thank Netflix for showing me a preview of the documentary before premiere that was this week. If you like this podcast, feel free to review. I would love it if you could just rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts, if it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. Please do. And I'll be sure to, in addition to having the link to the documentary in the description, also include my links to social media. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, a lot of places. So if you want to say hi on there, I'll be sure to respond. Maybe have some feedback or something from me. Also, something else. I posted yesterday, when I'm recording this, about my Anna Nicole Smith podcast episode, this one you're hearing right now. And guess jeans that Anna modeled for liked it, which was really fun. So thanks, guests. I appreciate it. And yeah, this has been Artists Alive. Thank you so much for listening. Pet ducks, and you'll hear from me in the next episode. Bye-bye. Mwah.